The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that is good, Mrs. Baldivis. Thank you so much for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 7. And I'd like to speak this morning to help us on who controls your thoughts. Now, watch, if you will, please, the digestive system of the thought life here. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, or as you chew upon these things in your heart, the Bible says, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Over in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 31, our Lord is speaking to the Jews, and the Bible says here in John chapter 8 and verse 31, and the Bible says, to those Jews which believed on him, if thou continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Over in Psalms, in Psalm 15 and verse 2, the Bible says, he that walketh uprightly, says, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. And I want us to think about this morning about who controls your thoughts. I want to give you some statements this morning about our thoughts and about how is it that we could have victory in our thought life. Now, I can tell you I've been preaching for well over 30 years, and boy, do I like to preach. I mean, I like to get with it, and I'm like any preacher. I like to holler, and I like to stomp, and I like to throw a fit on some things sometimes. Now, I'm probably not going to do that this morning, because as soon as I do that, you'll be praying that I'll stop coughing. And so, but I want you to pay deliberate attention this morning, if I may. And by the way, may I commend the men that preached in my stead Sunday morning and last Sunday night and Wednesday night. Just an admirable job, very well prepared, very well delivered. And anybody that sat under their preaching certainly obtained growth in the Lord. And I appreciate them. I said to my Sunday school class, evidence of a very strong, balanced church is when the pastor is physically not able to be in his place, that things just carry on. You know, we were in evangelism for 12 years, and I've seen some churches that wasn't that way. I've seen churches where the pastor was out a week or two, and before you know it, just everything went wrong. I mean, people almost running around in panic and just not knowing what to do, and it just seemed like the whole thing was falling apart in 1 or 2 weeks. And that's not that way here. And I thank the Lord for these fine, outstanding men. Let me give you some thoughts here about how to control, or who is it that controls your thoughts. Let me give you some statements. Statement number one, we become what we think. We become what we think. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, let me reread it for reiteration's sake. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So here's a person that is thinking about committing murder. Can I tell you, probably he's going to head that direction. Here's a person that's thinking about telling a lie. Probably as he meditates upon that and it consumes his heart and it resonates with him, it's probably something he's going to step out to embrace and to do. The Bible says over in Psalms 51 and verse 6, it says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. It says, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So on the inward parts, I believe as a child of God, we desire to know truth. I believe that the Holy Spirit puts a desire. The Bible says that God's people hunger and thirst after righteousness. So there's a natural hunger and thirst that God has placed inside of you through the Holy Spirit that is a hunger and a thirst after that which is righteousness, okay? After that which is right doing and right teaching and a right doctrine. But we have to be careful because the Bible also says that children are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So you have to make sure that doctrine lines up with the Bible. You have to make sure that the doctrine that you hear is not the doctrine of demons or the doctrine of devils or the doctrine of that which is a false prophet, but it certainly lines up with that which is the Word of God. So as we have the Word of God and we begin to think about the Word of God, we begin to become what we think about. All right? If you put in good things, then good things eventually will be able to resonate and be able to help you to be able to do good things. So statement number one, we become what we think upon. Statement number two, so we build a treasury of what we think upon. So you take good things in. It's like putting money in a bank, if you will, or it's like putting, if you would please, time in a company. Whatever you invest in is where you're going to get the dividends. And when we take and we put the right type of treasury inside of our heart, we put the right type of truth inside of our heart, that treasury now becomes a part of that which controls us. Okay, no one has ever been a success without working at it. Nobody ever finishes a book without putting effort in it. Nobody ever memorizes a scripture without putting effort in it. You don't become a good mom or a good dad or a good individual or a spiritual individual just by thinking upon it, but first, that is where it starts. You have to decide inside of your heart that's what you want to be. Now, nobody can force thoughts inside of your heart. See, a person chooses to accept thoughts. A person chooses what they will allow inside of the heart. I've seen people that have gone to secular universities and they've sat under professors that do not believe the Word of God, that do not give adherence to the Word of God, and yet it doesn't faze their faith. I've seen other believers that go and sit under the same type of teaching and it totally destroys their faith. You see, what you allow to come in, what you allow to resonate inside of your heart, well, that would change your belief system. Now, it is better to take more good in than bad. It would be far better for you to take more Bible in than less.
Amen.
Because the Bible is the foundation of truth whereby you and I become strong in our faith. I pity people that allow other people to teach them that has no walk with God. Because what's going to happen is you're going to adopt a philosophy, you're going to adopt an ideology, you're going to adopt, if you would please, some type of teachings, if you would please, in a philosophy type of setting that is going to change your direction. You see, you need to be able, the Bible's like vitamins. You know, you hear preaching and you come to church and the preacher gets up and he preaches this truth, line upon line, precept upon precept. You don't leave here becoming a Superman type of Christian. You don't do that. But as you take it in, a little here and a little there, a little here and a little there, you're going to find yourself in a circumstance one day where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God brings back to your remembrance a principle, brings back to your remembrance a teaching, brings back to your remembrance those things that you have heard, and it will help you to be able to make a right decision in a given situation. All right? And so we understand this, that we are accountable to what we take into that treasure. We are accountable to what we take into our heart. That belief system is that which we accept, is that what we stand upon. You know, that belief system, if you will, please, that we have includes the things that we accept in our heart. For an example, if you will, you know, a person, depending on what they believe, is how they will act in a marriage. A person, depending on what they believe, is how they will act in child rearing. A person, depending on what they believe, will have a variance in their heart as to what they believe about worldliness. It will have a variance in the heart. It will have a bearing on the heart simply because what you take in automatically will eventually come out, especially if you take it in and you grasp it. You make it your own. You know, habits are not habits because all of a sudden you just decided that I'm going to try a new thing. Most people have habits because they have decided, they've thought upon it, and now they practice it on a regular basis. So what we put in does come out. Garbage in, garbage out. Truth in, truth out. Lies in, lies out. Anger in, anger out. Resentment in, resentment out. Envy in, envy out. Unkindness in, unkindness out, a criticalness in, a criticalness out. Can I tell you, we have to decide that we're going to protect the heart. The Bible says that we're supposed to walk diligence around the heart. Why? Because out of it are the very issues of life. So what we allow to come into the heart. Now you say, oh, Brother Wells, what you're saying is you need to protect the heart so that we would not allow the wrong to come in. But I think that you ought to taste the wrong just to see if it is wrong. No, I don't have to go do drugs to figure out they're wrong. I don't have to go smoke a cigarette to figure out it's probably going to hurt my body. I don't have to go get drunk to figure out that the end result of that is not going to be good. Come on. I can take the truth as the truth is given. I can choose to embrace the truth. I can choose to accept the truth. I can choose to adopt the truth, and I can choose to live by the truth. And so being as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was knocking on a door the other day, and as I knocked on the door, I was talking to a gentleman who lived in a very nice home, and as I was talking to him, he said this. He said, well, what if I choose not to believe what that Bible teaches? And I said, sir, don't get me wrong. I said, I'm just a messenger boy. You have to give an answer to God, not to me. In other words, you're going to have to stand before the Creator and say, this is why I didn't believe your Bible. This is a love letter, if you would please, from her Heavenly Father. So when I choose to accept the Bible, and I choose to embrace the Bible, and I choose to live by the Bible, and I choose to allow the Bible to have that which is a grip on my heart and to lead me and to direct me, can I tell you, then there's blessing there. But when I choose not to do that, then there's a reckoning there with the Heavenly Father. All right? So statement number one, we become what we think upon. Statement number two, we build a treasury by what we think upon. Statement number three, then we walk either in the flesh or the spirit by the choices that we think upon. You know, everybody in here, most people, I would dare say, I shouldn't say everybody in here, but most people that is in here, can I tell you, you know a difference between a right and a wrong. Now, it may vary on what the subject matter is as to the degree that you think it's right or wrong, but everybody in here is going to have an opinion about an issue, whether it is right or wrong. Now, why do you have that opinion? Somebody has put something in your mind. Somebody has put something in your mind. Okay, you ready? Let's go to the polls right now. And I have you to stand right now, and I name a candidate, and you stand as who you presently are going to be voting for. Now, I'm not going to do that because I don't believe in church splits. But can I tell you, everybody in here is going to believe that this person is right for this reason. You are. Okay? Everybody in here is going to say, I believe we ought to go this direction for this reason. Is it not true? See, what you make your mind up about is going to lead in the direction that you're going to go. So how do you know what direction to go? You know what direction to go because you have a solid Bible that tells you about the direction that you're supposed to go in life. It is not up to my choosing as to how I'm supposed to live my life. I am supposed to have a God, the one and only God, that will direct me in the choices that is best for me and best for my family. Where do I find that? I find that in the Word of God. I need to allow the Word of God to be able to help me. Now, we make choices. We make choices every day of our life, either to choose the flesh or choose the spirit. Let me read it to you over in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. The Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind. It says the things of the flesh. All right? So here's a person that is after the flesh. Now, what do they do? They're minding. They're thinking on these things that are of the flesh. All right? And it says, but they that are after the Spirit, capital S talking about Holy Spirit, it says the things of the Spirit. All right? So there's two different types of choices that a person's going to make. And by the way, we all make those. We either do mind the things of the flesh. That's where we put our mind. we do those things, or we do mind the things of the Spirit, and that's where we put our attention. Over Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, carnally minded, what does that mean? That means that we do the things after the flesh. So to be carnally minded or to be fleshly, the Bible says, here's what we do. The end of that fleshly mindedness is death. There's not going to be any peace there. Come on. The guy's getting drunk, toasting his brain, getting tipsy-wipsy, walking along, staggering every other step, saying everything is good, but the next morning, he's going to have a headache. The next morning, reality does set back in. You can't drink your problems away. They're still going to be there after you get done. Now, wait a minute. Why did a person go that way? They went that way because that was in their heart to go that way. What is that? That's a fleshly type of thing. All right? There is another choice, and that is to obey the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it says, it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, all right, here's a person that is fleshly minded, and God says that that is an enemy against him. So, we choose whether we want to be at enmity with God or not. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So here's a person who says, well, I tell you what, I like that fleshly thing. I like that fleshly thing no matter what it is. If it's not of the Lord, it's not pleasing of the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, talking about the believer. It says, but in the Spirit, capital S, talking about the believer. It says, so that it be in the Spirit of God. It says, if so, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, it says, any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So wait a minute. He says, wait a minute. You do have a choice as a believer. You can choose the flesh or you can choose the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. What you put in your mind is what you're going to choose to obey. You put the right things in, you get excited about the right things. Boy, you know, as you read the Bible, there should be a wow about that. As you read certain scriptures and they speak to your heart, there should be a wow about that simply because of the fact that there is a spirit that's alive in you. Amen. If your spirit is not, if something in you, yourself, is not wanting to come to church, can I tell you, it's not that your spirit. Your spirit desires to do the spiritual things, but your flesh is always combating against that which is the Holy Spirit that is supposed to captivate your spirit. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, watch. When we talk about your spirit, we're talking about there's the soul, there's the body, and there's the spirit. That is talking about there's a Holy Spirit that will direct you and will help you, but you have a spirit too. You ever see somebody at a ball game? Some people at a ball game, they get excited, while other people at a ball game don't get excited. Because their spirit's not lined up with the ball game. Come on. You know, we get excited about the things that we want to get excited about. You know, I think this. I think people that do not get excited about spiritual things, the reason is because they don't want to. Because you can get excited about what you want to get excited about. See, you are in control of your mind. There are people that will come to church, and when they come to church, they're drifting off all the time. Falling asleep all the time. Drooling, coming down the mountain. Nodding. And it's not that they are in agreement with the pastor. It's just a nod. Now, why is that? Well, I'll show you why. Because if they feed the flesh all week long, they just feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. Then they come to church and they try and turn on spirituality for 45 minutes. Can I tell you, that's hard. It is hard to pay attention to spiritual things when you've spent all week long just feeding and feeding and feeding, you know, because you get full. You get full. You ever do this? You ever go out to eat? And you finished eating? Then all of a sudden, somebody reminds you that you're supposed to be at somebody else's house in 1 hour, and you're like, what are we supposed to be there for? We're supposed to go over there and eat. Oh, but I'm not hungry. Now, you know why you're not hungry? Because you just ate. And see, we can feed the flesh so much. We can feed the mind so much. We can put so much stuff in here that when we come to church, we're so full of that stuff that we don't have any room for spirituality.
Amen.
We don't have any room. There's nothing there. But what if we changed that? What if we became spiritual people? What if we took the Word of God, which is spiritual, and we put that Word of God in us, and now we're feeding that hunger and that thirst after righteousness. And now it's like, man, you know, I can't wait. That God is going to give me something. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I can't wait to see what God has for me. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what it says over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, and I say then, walk in the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit, it says, against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that you would. The Bible says in verse 24 of that same chapter, the Bible says, and they that are of Christ crucify the flesh and the affections thereof. All right? So he said this. He said that person that is spiritual, here's what they're going to do. They're going to say, okay, no, no, no. You know, that flesh. Okay, come here, Brother Craig. So your flesh. Come here. Brother Wislowski, your spirit. All right, here we go. This is me every day. This is you every day. I get up. Don't tear me apart. But I get up every just like you. I get up and I choose what I'm going to think on. You get up and you choose what you're going to think on. Hey, let go. I can get up and choose I'm going to read the Bible. Or, let go, I can get up and choose I'm not going to. I get up and choose I'm going to go to church. Or say, no, I'm going to lay at home, watch movies. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to the casino. Yeah. I'm going to pay attention during preaching. I'm going to text my boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, hope to be. I'm going to enjoy that singing. Not me, man. I got my earbuds in. I'm listening to rock music the whole time the choir is singing. That's why I'm jamming. Yeah. I'm going to take and encourage somebody to come to church. Hey man, we got to go down shopping. There's a great sale today. Oh, forget that church stuff. Forget that church stuff. Hey, I'm going to get up and be there early, shake people's hands when I come to church. Not me. I need my extra beauty sleep. Hadn't worked so far. I still have hope. I'm going to listen to what the Sunday school teacher says because I need all the Word of God that I can get. I'm going to go study a science book because I need to be scientific in my endeavors. Come on. We choose. We choose in child rearing. I'm going to take my kids to church. I'm going to let my kids do what they want to do. We choose. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to try and love everybody else's wife. We choose. We choose. I'm going to help my kids serve God. I'm going to be the wrong example for my kids so they never serve God. Yeah, we choose. I'm going to pray. Doesn't matter who sees me or not. I love God. I'm going to pray. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm going to take and worship Allah. There is a difference there, by the way. I'm going to take and I'm going to go over, man, soul winning, that's it. I heard about the soul winning stuff. Thought it was crazy, thought it was mysterious. Hey, I'm going to try it. I'm going to give somebody a track, see if they'll read it. I'm going to give somebody a ticket down to the racetrack, see if they'll win. There's a difference. See, we choose. I'm going to obey my parents. No, they're not perfect. No, they're not right all the time, but they're mom and dad. They deserve my obedience and honor. I don't care what my parents say. They're old. They're out of touch. I mean, come on. I'm 16. My dad's 34, he's over the hill. Just totally out of touch. Come on. She says, I'm going to honor my husband. I know he likes this type of food. I'm going to honor him. Man, I'm going to cook his best meal for him. I hope the fat Lord starves. He's not treated me right all week long. I hope he starves. I'm going to forgive my wife for thinking that way. I'm going to get even with my wife. We're not going to talk for the next 2 weeks. Next time she dyes her hair, I'm going to put some weird color in there. Come on. You choose which way to go. Thank you. Be seated. Here's what it says. The Bible says, it says, and they are Christ that have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. So, you know, we have a mind to obey either that which is the flesh or that which is the spirit. You ready for this? You choose. You choose. You know, nobody can force you to be spiritual. You know, nobody can force you to come to church. Nobody can force you to be faithful. Nobody forces you to go to Sunday school. Just depends on how much Word of God you want to know. You know, nobody forces you. Nobody forces you to say, okay, now wait a minute. You know, you need to do this. Now, wait a minute. I'll show you this. People are full of lust, many times jealousy, many times pride, many times envying, maybe evil thoughts, or maybe strife. You say, why is that, preacher? Choice. I was in Tennessee, out soldering one day, knocked on the door. Lady came to the door. Who are you? I said, I'm the pastor of Union City Baptist Temple. That's what I figured. Slammed the door. So I went to the back door. Same house. Knocked on the back door. Lady came. She said, aren't you that same guy? I said, yeah. But I wanted to see if there was as mean of a woman that was going to answer the back door that answered the front door. She laughed. She thought that was funny. She said, if you come around to the front door, I'll be more kind. I said, well, be kind now. And she was. All right, now wait a minute. You choose. You choose whether you want to lose your temper. You choose. Right. Well, the devil made me do it. Oh, stop blaming him. Well, it's because I'm married to who I'm married to. That's what they say about you. You can't blame your spouse. Well, you know, it's my circumstance. If I didn't have the boss that I had, oh, quit. If I didn't live in Dallas, quit. If I didn't live in the country, quit. If I didn't weigh this much, quit. If I weighed more, quit. If I had brown hair, stop it. If I had white skin, quit. If I had dark skin, stop it. If I was so tall, what are you talking about? If I had hair, now you're going somewhere. I'm saying this, you know, you cannot blame, you can't blame circumstances. You choose. I've seen people that's gone through hurricanes, lose everything that they've got, tornadoes, lose everything they've got, still cheerful. I've seen people in the hospital stricken with cancer, dying of heart disease, still happy. I've seen people that have lots of money, sad. Why is that? Choice. Choice. Now you have to decide to put the right things in. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we become what we think. As a man thinketh, so is he. What are you thinking? What are you putting in? What are you allowing to come into your thought life? Okay, we build a treasury by what we think upon. Statement number next. I said that we walk in the flesh or in the spirit by the choices of our thinking. You choose. Let me give you, if I may, just the last statement, and that is this. So you're in a mental war, and Satan does want control. You are in a mental war, and Satan does want control. You know, I was talking to a man the other day. It was a godly man. He said, "Preacher," he said, "have you ever had suicide thoughts?" I said, "Why do you ask that, preacher?" Now, he said, "One of the strangest things ever happened to me. Can't explain it." He says, "I was coming up to a bridge." This is a preacher talking to me. "I was coming up to a bridge." He says, "I was coming to a bridge." He said, "All of a sudden, the thoughts came across my heart. Why don't you just go off the bridge?" He said, "I don't understand that." I said, "Brother, the devil will try to attack you. You know, he cannot get your soul. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life." Dear beloved, you're never going to die and burn in hell. Once you're saved, you are saved forever. But he wants to trip you up. He wants to stop you. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to throw in the towel. He don't want you to be faithful to the things of God, to the house of God, to the word of God, to acting like a believer ought to act. He wants you to take and stop serving Christ. Now, wait a minute. Somewhere down the line, you've got to decide that you're going to stand up. You've got to decide that you're going to do what is right. You've got to decide you're going to go forward. You've got to decide you're going to step out and do what God tells you to do, simply because God tells you to do it. You've got to decide that. But I can tell you which way you're going to go by what you're putting in here. You know, I've seen people that hang around critical people, and it's not long before they become critical. I've seen people that have a strong definition for that which is the way that they believe, embrace, obey, and practice truth, and they get around other believers that do not believe, do not grasp, do not obey, and do not grasp truth, and before you know it, that weaker Christian begins to change. Because what you put in is eventually what is going to come out. So statement number four is this, and that is this. We are in a mental war. It is a warfare, if you will, between who has control of your mind. And Satan wants to control your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And though we walk in the flesh," it says, "we do not war after the flesh." So when you're walking in the flesh, you see nothing wrong with it. You know, I mean, how many people have I seen that used to be faithful to church, used to even go to Sunday school, used to read their Bibles, and I say, "Where are you?" And they say, "Well, you know, I'm okay." They see nothing wrong with the wrong they're doing now. Why? Because they're so used to walking in the flesh that it becomes a natural thing. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal," talking about fleshly. It says, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The Bible says in verse 5, "casting down imaginations." It says, "and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought," it says, "to the obedience of Christ." Now, wait a minute. And so the enemy wants to defeat you in your area of your thoughts. Why? Because if he can attack your thoughts, he's going to change your attitude. He's going to change your direction. You know, we have to recognize that there is sinful imaginations. There is evil thoughts. There is things that is called the lust of the flesh. We have to understand that God says there is those high philosophies and there is those ideas and those ideals and there is the teachings of that which is this world that is contrary to the truth. But can I remind you, there's only one creator. There's only one creator. And we have to decide, are we going to go according to the teachings of this world or the teachings of our creator? Statement number next, and I'm done. You must make a choice. You have to choose. Said that all the way through. So choose the right thoughts. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, "as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, by the way, listen to me. Church is not always, all right, watch this. It used to be that people work on the farms. Stay with me now. They work on the farms. They come in. They'd be lonely working in the fields. Lonely working in the fields. You know, unless they had a little bit of money and they had some people that they would hire to work their crops. They be lonely working in the fields. They'd come in, and think about this. This was America before the big cities took place. And they would come in, and boy, you know, it was eating time, and they'd sit around the table, they and their families, and they would enjoy a wonderful, bountiful meal. They would enjoy being together. You know, they might read a book together at night, fellowship at night. Christian people would probably have a family altar type of thing where they'd read some of the scriptures and they'd pray together. You know, life wasn't as busy as it is now. And then what would take place is all of a sudden, here comes an evangelist coming through and have an old-fashioned tent revival. And the most exciting thing that used to hit people's lives many years ago was preaching. That was the most exciting thing. I mean, the old evangelist was coming through, you know, and he's a circuit-riding preacher, and he's coming through, and, hey, it's going to meeting time. Everybody get up. Let's go. Hey, we're going to church. They had old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching, and, oh, lives were changed, and sinners were converted, and homes were made right, and all the sweetness of God would rest in every single home where God began to work. Then all of a sudden, television invaded. Now you've got all this technology stuff that's invaded. Now we're so busy. I doubt if there's hardly any people in America, hardly any, there may be some, but hardly, I said, any people in America that don't have some type of smartphone, and they're on it all the time. I mean, everybody's invading everybody else's life all the time. Just communication, 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 communication. And because of that, you've only got so much time in a day. And you let all these things come in, all these things come in, and all these things come in. And then you never get up, you never read the Bible, you never pray, you never spend time with your God. And then you wonder, all these movies coming in and all these friends coming in that's saying all this stuff, and it's just corroding your thinking. And before you know it, you find yourself in the depths of sin simply because you got all this mess. That's why you need church. That's why you need somebody who's going to stand up, and he's not in it for a paycheck, and he's not in it to necessarily make a friend. He cares about you, and he loves you, and he's going to shoot it straight. And can I tell you, listen to me, we need that old-fashioned type of preaching again where God can move in and God can work. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying you choose right things. The Bible says keep thy heart with all diligence. You have to choose what you're going to keep. Today you're going to go home, and I love you. But you're going to go home and you're going to decide what type of wife you're going to be this afternoon. Today you're going to go home, you're going to decide what type of husband you're going to be. You choose. Today you'll go home and you'll decide, hey, I'm going to go back to that old-fashioned church and hear preaching tonight. Or you're going to decide not to. You make those choices. See, here's what the Bible teaches. You choose whether you want right thoughts or not. Statement number two. You choose whether to clean up your thoughts or not. You choose. You know, everybody in here, and I love you, but listen to me, please. Everybody in here can change if you want to. Did you know that? Did you know that? You can change if you want to. You can. You know, you can choose to love God if you want to. When I got saved, my parents did not force me to go to church. You know what I did? I chose to go to church. You know, the whole time that I was a young believer, not one time, thank the Lord I didn't jump off the platform, but not one time, stay with me now, did my parents ever go to church. The whole time I was saved, I mean, I've been saved ever since, but I'm saying that in my younger years when I was saved, Mom and Daddy never went to church one time. I went by myself. By myself. Had to find my own ride. Nobody offered me a ride. When my car was broke down, I'm the one that called people. Can you come get me? Can you work it out? I need church. Get me to church. I need that preaching. Can you help me? Nobody had to spoon feed me. Nobody had to pamper me. Nobody ever had to call me up and say, well, I sure did miss you. No, man, I was right there lapping it up. Because I needed all the God I could get. You choose. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Over in Psalm 51 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Create in me," it says, "a clean heart, O God." It says, "And renew," it says, "a right spirit within me." Then lastly, and I'm done, you need to fill your hearts with the Word of God. Fill it. Fill your hearts with the Word of God. Fill it. Fill it. Fill it. By the way, what you put in comes out. You know, if you're putting slang words in, they're going to come out. You're putting curse words in, they're going to come out. You put the Word of God in, it's going to come out. I'm telling you, it's going to come out. You know, you might start walking up to somebody and say, "I thank thee, for thou art my friend." I mean, who knows what you might talk like, amen? Philippians chapter 4, and I'm done. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," you ready? You ready for it? "Think on these things." What you put in becomes who you are. And what you put in, you choose.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.